Hello, it is Tuesday, July 20th. I am Trent Rinesmith. This is the Come On Now MMA podcast, and here are the topics I am going to cover today. TJ Dillashaw allegedly owning up to his doping positive test and trying to kind of make a martyr out of himself. BKFC CEO, owner, president, whatever he is, making a dumb, sexist, homophobic remark. Things are heating up between Dan Hooker and Islam Makhachev, and I'm okay with that. Greg Hardy gets a come on now and also gets hit pretty hard from Tai Tuivasa. Dana White and did a Fox interview, and it wasn't good. Conor McGregor buys a boat and acts like a jackass. Conor McGregor should also buy that chain that Dustin Poirier is going to be auctioning off for charity. And I dream about a Khabib Nurmagomedov and Islam Makhachev hard sparring session so we can see where Makhachev stands in the lightweight pecking order. And now, on with the show. TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw fights on Saturday. His first fight in over 2 years. He was on a USADA suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. EPO is what he was pop for, and EPO is more or less a cardio enhancer for a brief explanation, and it really no other explanation for having it in your system other than you wanted an advantage and you cheated. And Dillashaw has been not great in dealing with this. Yes, he admitted he did it, but his admission has kind of been not the best. He's kind of, said it was a mistake more than a decision. And now he's crying that he's being made an example of, and that USADA, who administers the UFC's drug program, is, giving him a hard time. And here's what he said to Brennan Schaub on Food Truck Diaries. People can go say whatever they want, and more power to them. That's the decision I made. But USADA actually put me under a microscope after I got in trouble, man. They went back to all my fights that they ever collected my samples and retested all of them all the way back to my Rafael dos Anjos fight after Dominic Cruz, because they keep an A and a B sample every time you get tested. No matter what, it's going to be like that. I made the mistake. That's like USADA's weapon to use against you, to really slander you so no one else wants to do this shit. Those questions are valid because I effed up. I made the decision, but me being able to live with that, me owning up to that, has made it effing easy. So, a lot to say here. First of all, no one put you under the microscope, TJ Dillashaw, but you. And you did that by making a conscious decision to take this drug to enhance your cardio performance so you could drop to 125 pounds and be at your best against Henry Cejudo. So, again, you're not under a microscope, and anything you seem to think you've been put under the microscope for is 100% your fault for cheating. They didn't put you there. They did due diligence by retesting those old samples, because if they have them, they want to find out how far back this doping and cheating took place. If it didn't, and from the testing accounts it did not, well, then you were only tested positive for this fight. So be happy about that. Be happy that they, through this going back, they cleared your name of past indiscretions, because the question then would have been, well, how many times in the past has this happened? Well, now that answer has been the question's been answered, because USADA went back and tested. So be happy that they did that, and don't be salty about it, because by going back, you're a little cleaner, quote unquote. And I'm sure that if this happened to one of your opponents and they got popped after you faced them, you would want to know if they were on anything when you fought them. So think this through. It's not just you. It's everyone. And the idea that that's slander is kind of laughable, because it's not slander if you cheated and you admitted you cheat and then they confirmed that you cheated. That's not how slander works. You cheated, you got caught. Not slander, just due diligence and double-checking what you said after a positive drug test. And I see a lot of people kind of saying that Dillashaw should be rewarded for or looked upon in a good light for, you know, owning up to this. But again, I see more avoiding than owning up. Yeah, there's an occasional I decided from Dillashaw, but it's mostly I made a mistake. And again, making a mistake is not injecting drugs or taking performance enhancing drugs. That's a decision. The decision was made to cheat. Not a mistake, not an error, not a, you know, fault in judgment. You wanted an edge, you got an edge, and then you got caught. The remorse here, I think, from Dillashaw is that he got caught. Not that he did it. Not that he did it. That he got caught. And Michael Bisping said here, T.J. Dillashaw has served a 2-year suspension. He came out and he owned up to it. I've got to say, I respect that. I do. Everybody knows my stance on steroids. But the fact that he came out and he owned up to it, he put his hand up and said, yeah, I cheated. The pressure got to me. It's refreshing. It's refreshing to see. Most people make up some nonsense. They say it was some cream or supplement or whatever. They come out with outlandish things to try and make up for it rather than just saying, hey, I did it. You got me. So I respect that. Okay, I understand this, but that's not the correct way to look at it. I don't think. I think the correct way to look at it is if T.J. Dillashaw had beaten Henry Cejudo and not gotten caught with EPO in his system, would he have owned up to that? Of course not. He would have cheated, he would have got away with it, and he would have won his fight. And that, we would have probably never found out about it. So don't praise him for getting caught and then telling the truth. Because we all know you got caught. We all know you did it. And there's no supplement that EPO is going to be in. Had he got caught with something else, who knows what he would have said. But EPO is just there for doping, and that's what he did. So to make up an excuse would have been ridiculous. To own up to it is what he should have done. You don't get an award for getting caught doping and then saying, yeah, I did it. That's, we know you did it. You got caught. You know, we don't need the confirmation because you did it and got caught. The drug test said you did it. So we don't need your confirmation. We don't need you to say, yeah, I did it. And no, you don't get a reward for that. You don't get an attaboy. You don't get a pat on the back for that because it's stupid to do that. He got caught. He cheated. He thought he could get away with it. You don't get to say I'm sorry when you don't get away with it. You own up to it. You take your punishment and you move on. But you don't get an attaboy for doing that. To do that is just dumb. And again, anytime Dillashaw says he made a mistake, that's discounting how he cheated. That's saying that, well, it's not really cheating. I just kind of messed up a little bit. No, you made a decision. You doped. You got caught. Bare knuckle fighting boss is, I don't know. I guess two fighters out bare knuckle got into it a little bit in the ring after a fight or before a fight, and they, you know, slugged it out a bit. Nothing we haven't seen before, but the head of BKFC just said some stupid things, and I want to point them out, and I want to point out why they are stupid in case you're confused as to why they are. So he said, we're in combat sports, we're not in ballet. It's never going to happen in ballet, but it's going to happen in combat sports. You get two guys heated at each other and things happen. We just have to combat it as much as we can so nobody is in harm's way, if you will. At the end of the day, when you're on the end of Hector Lombard's punches with bare fists, you're in harm's way. Okay, so he's trying to say that ballet dancers are soft, and this is just, you can be construed as being dumb. Well, that it is. Sexist, homophobic, and whatever else you want to say about it. But the thing I want to say about it is it's not true. If you look at ballet dancers, and I looked up a study here. They did a study of ballet dancers over 5 years, and I think it was 500 about, or a couple hundred ballet dancers aged 5 to 20, and the yearly injury rate was 32 to 51%, which is pretty damn high. That, you know, every year almost half of these dancers who are allegedly soft, according to this clown, were injured. So if you're going to try and, you know, make fun of athletes or make fun of anyone, first of all, probably don't do that. Probably just say, hey, these guys, they're knuckleheads and they fought, you know. Don't make excuses. And I also want to point out that this guy is no shining beacon of enlightenment. He's the one that wanted to sign convicted rapist Alexander Emelianenko. He said he was going to create a firefighter pension fund, didn't. He said he was going to short a fighter's pay because he didn't like how that fighter fought inside the ring. So, come on now. This, you know, be a person, be a human being. Is it that hard to do? Is it hard to act like you are, you know, a normal functioning part of society? I mean, if I can do it, I don't think it's out of line that other people can do it. Things are heating up between Dan Hooker and Islam Makhachev. So on Saturday or Sunday, Hooker pretty much dismissed Makhachev's win over Thiago Moises, said it was boring, said he was just stealing his partner's notes, which is Khabib Nurmagomedov, and said that he's no Khabib because he has a loss on his record. He's 12-1, and that loss is a knockout loss. But, you know, and all these things got said, and what didn't get said was that Hooker wanted to fight him, but that changed. Hooker, who is 20-10 and is coming off two losses, a decision to Dustin Poirier and a KO loss to Michael Chandler, said that he wanted to fight him. I don't know if it was before or after, but Makhachev said, I have an 8-fight winning streak, and this is on Twitter. This guy is 3-3 in his last 6 fights. I was looking to fight him a year ago, but he was scared to even mention my name. Dan Hangman, wish you good luck at next fight. Win something and we can talk. Hooker's response was scared. Haha, check the timeline. I went to war with Felder and Poirier while you were chirping. Both make your fight Saturday look like a tickle party. If you have a problem, we can fight in September. So I'm okay with this fight. The rankings have Makhachev jumping up 4 spots from number 9 to number 5 after his win over Moises, who dropped from 14 to 15. With that movement, Makhachev is now ranked higher than Conor McGregor, Hooker, Rafael Dos Anjos, and Tony Ferguson. Now, I don't know if I agree with that giant jump up after beating the number 14 fighter, but I also don't agree with a lot of things in the official UFC rankings, so I take those with a grain of salt. But from a ranking standpoint and from a, you know, fight somebody with a big name standpoint, Hooker and Makhachev would be a good fight. I just don't know if the matchmakers are going to put someone like Makhachev, who, again, is on an 8-fight winning streak, up against someone who is on a 2-fight losing streak. It's possible just because of how the rankings shake out, but I don't know if it's probable. But I'm not going to say no to any of those fights. Makhachev, McGregor's going to be out for a year, so not that. RDA would be fine. Ferguson would be fine. Hooker would be fine. We really need to see Makhachev tested by a fighter who is not going to be afraid to go in there and throw down with him, and I don't think any of those would be. Greg Hardy, he's on my Come On Now for today. He posted a picture of him with some teammates and Chad Johnson, and it was on Instagram, said some pics from the trenches with Chad Ocinco. Great fight week. Just got to finish the week off next time. Met him in the middle and had him doing the chicken dance. Just got too eager. And that was a reference to his knockout loss to Tai Tuivasa. Staggered Tuivasa and then rushed in, and Tuivasa recovered and planted Hardy on the canvas and won by knockout. Tuivasa responded, chicken dance, bruh. I'm going to leave this here and let you think about some things, okay? Or I'll come there and smack your other eye. Talk too much, end up on your back. I'm a man, I hit back. So, yeah. So what Tuivasa says is if you hit him, he's going to hit you back. And he did. And when he hit back, Hardy ended up knocked out. And the picture that Tuivasa has posted is one of Hardy on the mat while Tuivasa gets ready to land some ground strikes. It went on for a little bit, a couple more things, tweets or Instagram posts back and forth. But the one that got my attention was when Tuivasa used the hashtag Prince of Fuck All to reference Hardy's nickname of Prince of War, I believe, which I thought that was amusing. And there's, you know, Hardy can say that he rushed in and that he made a beginner's mistake, but he's not a beginner and he's not paid like a beginner, and so he should fight like he's not a beginner. Tuivasa took advantage of what Hardy did, won the fight by knockout, and I think Hardy is now on a two-fight losing skid, both knockouts. And if it was up to me, I would have never signed Greg Hardy, but if it was up to me now, I would release him because he's not a draw, he's not making money for the UFC, and he's not winning. So, come on now. Another come on now is Dana White did an interview with Fox, and it was just a terrible interview. It was just allowing White to brag about how he got back to normal and, you know, basically ignored COVID protocols and how great that is for America and how great of a man he is. And one of the things that the interviewer said that caught my attention was, no one ever gave you anything, which, come on now. The Fertitta brothers literally gave him his job, and he had no knowledge of how to do that. Everything that Dana White has at this point was given to him by the Fertitta brothers. The sale of the UFC, all that money, thanks to the Fertitta brothers. So, I mean, come on now. Without the Fertitta brothers, Dana White would just be some dude from Boston. But he got lucky. And I'm not going to say that, you know, he didn't and that he got his rewards, but he was given something. And that something led to him being a multimillionaire. So, come on now, Fox. Conor McGregor is he's slipping. His trash talk was in the crapper before UFC 264. He's kind of on some kind of rampage about the loss. He's not dealing well with that. He's using tired and hackneyed trash talk to Dustin Poirier and Poirier's wife. And all the charm that he had at one time is seemingly gone. And he bought a boat. And it was worth, I guess, $3 million, which is fine. That's a lot of money for a boat, but, and I wouldn't spend it, but because boats are notoriously the worst investment you can make. But in the post of the picture of the boat, he wrote, "I wipe my rich ass with your feelings about my work. I feel nothing for you bums, nada." And then there was the picture of the boat. And, you know, that's great, but it's not doing anything. It's just hiding that, you know, his feelings are hurt. He's up in his feelings. This is not the Conor McGregor we would have saw in his early days. But as Khabib Nurmagomedov said, you find out who a person is when they have money. And we've been finding out who Conor McGregor is since he's gotten money. And he's not making a good showing of himself. And this is not making a good showing of himself either. You know, you bought a boat. Great. You still lost to Dustin Poirier. You still aren't doing so great over the past few years. You're still on the way down. The charm you had is slipping. The appeal you had is slipping. And things like this aren't going to make it any better or make things more appealing. So, come on now, Conor McGregor. At least try to do better. Speaking of McGregor and Poirier, if McGregor had a sense of humor, which I'm gathering he does not, at least not a good one, he would buy that chain that Jake Paul gifted Poirier, the Sleepy McGregor chain, which also is a good name for a boat, but I don't think he has that kind of sense of humor either. He would buy that chain and, you know, keep it and maybe do something, you know, funny with it, break it up, melt it down into something that he wants. But I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be nice. It would be funny because he would own the loss. He would own that, and then he would be able to do something with the chain and do something good with the money for charity. Is that going to happen? No, but it would show a sense of humor. It would show some self-deprecation. It would show some self-knowledge, but I don't think McGregor is going to do it. I just don't think he has anything in him that would lead him to do that. Khabib Nurmagomedov and Islam Makhachev. I spoke about this a little bit after the fight, and I said I don't really know where Makhachev is as far as the lightweight pecking order. He looks fantastic. He looks like he could be another Khabib Nurmagomedov. He looks like he could win a title. He looks like he can dominate, but he's not fighting ranked fighters. He just fought a number 14 ranked guy when he was number 9, which was a mismatch, and he dominated that fight. Looked great doing it, but is that everything we need to see? And no, I don't think it is. I think we need to see him challenged as top 5, top 10 fighter. We need to see someone who is not afraid to step in with him. We need to see someone who is not afraid of his wrestling. We need to see someone who can pressure him and land more than 13 significant strikes in a fight, which is the highest anyone's ever landed against him. These are all things we need to see before we can sign off officially on Islam Makhachev. And I was thinking about this today. Maybe the best thing we could see is Nurmagomedov and Makhachev doing a hard sparring session, no pads, 5-minute round, regulation octagon, referee if you want, and just see how that happens, how that goes. I think Khabib, you know, obviously I think Khabib is going to dominate that, but to what extent? And I think that would show us a lot as well, almost as much as a fight against a top 5 opponent, because if you're fighting arguably the best ever at lightweight in a hard sparring kind of deal, which I don't really, you know, I think both those guys are good enough that they could do the hard sparring and it's not going to take anything away from them. Neither gets hit a lot. Neither has a striking based game. So I think that it would be safer for two fighters like this to do a hard sparring kind of way session. But I mean, only once I think is all we need to know. But I doubt this is going to happen. This was just a kind of a pie in the sky kind of take on it. That outside of a fight against a top opponent in the lightweight division, one thing that we could really see is how Makhachev deals with someone as good, great, dominant as Nurmagomedov. And if he can deal with it in a way that is close to even, passable, has a shot, well then Islam Makhachev is the real thing. And I don't think he's not the real thing. I just think I need to see the next thing. And this was something we tend to get caught up on a lot in MMA is, and I'm trying to do it less. And I took a step back on this one beforehand just to do that. We get caught up in the moment and we declare fighters the next big thing right away. Now, if I was looking at the Makhachev fight with Moises in a vacuum, I would probably do that. But knowing his past fights, and his progress, and where he is in the pecking order, and who he's fought in the pecking order, I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to hold off on that judgment. Been burned too many times, and maybe he'll prove me right. And I mean, if I had to bet now, yeah, he's going to prove me right. But I still want to see it. And I think that Khabib's hard sparring would be a fantastic way to see that. Will it happen? Probably not. But we can hope. We can dream. I'd pay pay-per-view prices for that. Sure. On that note, I'm going to call it a day. We'll be back later in the week. So until then, everyone, stay safe.